WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So where does Chris Christie's apology yesterday fit in the annals of the great political apologies of history? Here's a clip of how he opened his press conference about 24 hours ago.
I come out here today to apologize to the people of New Jersey. I apologize to the people of Fort Lee, and I apologize to the members of the state legislature.
Direct and humble. But as time went on, we got a little more nuance, maybe a little shifting of blame.
It makes me ask about me, what did I do wrong to have these folks think it was okay to lie to me?
Well, our next guest happens to have just written a book about saying I'm sorry. Lauren M. Bloom is both an attorney and an interfaith minister, and her new book is Art of the Apology: How, When, and Why to Give and Accept Apologies. Lauren, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
And Lauren, before we open the phones or even talk about Chris Christie, the first thing I want to do is apologize to you for bumping your segment yesterday, although it was actually Governor Christie's fault for scheduling his news conference at the same time. I want everybody to know that you were actually sitting in our newsroom as he made his public apology after being booked for weeks, not having anything to do with Chris Christie, to come on yesterday and talk about your apology book. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Brian, it's fine. I actually really enjoyed it, and it's a marvelous example of how apologies find their way into the news. So I was glad to be there, and just am very glad I can be here today because it gives us a lot to talk about.
So how did Chris Christie do yesterday?
Oh, boy, he started out so well. I was sitting, as you say, in your offices watching him thinking, yes, this is so good. And then it started to go downhill, and I was very disappointed. So at this point, I have to give him about a C-.
Went downhill how?
Well, as you say, he did a lot of things right when he stepped to the podium. He was very direct. He managed to avoid all of that kind of slushy, well, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, language that politicians tend to love. He apologized in a straightforward way. He took full responsibility for the behavior of his staff. He explained what he was going to do, first of all, to make amends, which included firing a couple of key people, and to keep it from happening again. So I was really proud of him. And then he made it all about himself, how he was heartbroken because he had been lied to, how he fired his aide, not because she seriously inconvenienced and maybe even put in physical jeopardy the people on that bridge, but because she had lied to him, how it was all about him having been betrayed, him having done things to make people think it was okay for people to lie to him. And I sat there thinking, Governor Christie, you just don't get it. When you make an apology, it's about the people who have been injured. It's not about you.
Listeners, our guest is Lauren Bloom, author of Art of the Apology: How, When, and Why to Give and Accept Apologies. Our phones are open at 212-433-WNYC. You can talk about Christie or any political or celebrity apology that has or has not worked for you, 212-433-WNYC, or we can take it down to the personal. Maybe you want to start off 2014 with a public apology to someone or everyone for something that you have done in 2013, 212-433-9692, or maybe you want to talk seriously about an apology that you have ever given or ever received and how you think it raises an issue about apologies, 212-433-9692. 9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Lauren, is there a difference in general between a public apology and a personal apology?
Oh, absolutely. When somebody has to make a public apology like the one Governor Christie tried to make yesterday, they are reaching out to the world at large. So we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And so at that point, they're having to almost make a generic apology in the sense that they want to say things to a whole lot of people who've had very different experiences. So they're not able to be as specific as you can be and really need to be in a personal apology. Also, sometimes, not always, a public apology will have a private element. Now, Governor Christie absolutely declined any personal knowledge of or participation in the traffic jam setup. So he's not in a situation where he's having to personally apologize to people much, although I understand he did talk to the mayor of Fort Lee yesterday. But in a situation like some of the scandals we've had involving politicians who admitted to having affairs, there's a two-step process there. One is to talk to your family in private and make that private apology, but then to apologize to constituents, to the press, to the public at large.
And to say so, because you write in the book that when a public figure apologizes, it's often necessary for them to take a moment in their public apology to say that they've also apologized privately and directly to the party that they've wronged.
Oh, absolutely. That's very important. And it's something that the public really cares about. You know, for all that we live in very snarky times, I think Americans generally are still very nice people, and we want our public figures to be nice people. So when our public figures make mistakes, and they do because they're just as human as the rest of us, we want to know that they care enough about the people they're close to make that private apology and to try to make things right with them. And it's easier for the public to accept an apology if they know that private apology has also been made.
You mentioned Christie's trip to the mayor of Fort Lee to apologize in person yesterday. Is there a right or a wrong way to accept an apology? Here's 11 seconds of Fort Lee Mayor Sokolich accepting Christie's apology yesterday.
Listen, I am sold. I told you. If you know me for 30 seconds, I'm a forgiving guy. And you know, thank you for the apology. We are grateful for it. I think we would all collectively say that. We just thought it was premature to come up and do it today.
Mark Sokolich, pretty gracious, although he did throw in that little jab that he thought it was wrong to come up and do it today.
Well, it does make me wonder how much he's really forgiven the governor. And in fairness to the mayor, we still don't really know what happened. There are investigations going on, and while I would hope that Governor Christie told us everything yesterday, we may find that he didn't. And if that's true, he's going to have a much harder uphill fight. But generally, I think the mayor did pretty well. I think saying thank you for the apology is definitely appropriate. If you can say I forgive you, it's nice. But I tend to think that forgiveness is not something that necessarily has to come automatically on the heels of an apology. I think that an apology is something you owe. You know, we say, I owe you an apology. It's a debt that has to be paid. But forgiveness, I think, is a gift. And if you're not ready to make that gift the instant the words, I'm sorry, comes out of the other person's mouth, that's okay.
Ephraim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ephraim.
Hi. I think that there are two meanings in the expression, I'm sorry. One is an apology, and one is an expression of your compassion. When something wrong happened to you and I say, I'm sorry. When Obama said, I'm sorry for people finding themselves in a distress, it's not verbatim. It's in distress because what I have said, I don't take it as an apology. He is expressing his compassion. I'm sorry for you finding yourself in such a position. And
I understand. So Lauren, what about that? He says that an apology has various meanings. One is the expression of being contrite for what you did. The other is an expression of compassion for how the other people feel or what they're experiencing or going through. Is that a good way to look at it?
Well, I think I'd say it slightly differently. I think the phrase, I'm sorry, gets used in both of those ways, as in, I'm sorry for what I did, I'm sorry for your circumstances. Those are two different things. But an apology is the, I'm sorry for what I did, I'm sorry for what we did. Having said that, Compassion is the essence of an apology. It's putting yourself in the other person's position, understanding what their experience was, and then reaching out to make things right.
Bob in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
My apologies to the several thousand people I've yelled at over the last 45 years on the road to start with. You invited that. So, and I'm deeply sincere. The other thing is...
You're forgiven if I was one of them.
I doubt it, but it's possible. I wanted to ask your guest, within his two-hour mea culpa, there seems to be elements that just defy credibility. I mean, he's trying to tell us that his deputy chief of staff, knowing full well she had written this email, sat there for two or three weeks after these subpoenas were issued and continued to lie to her boss.
Right.
But I
don't want to get back off onto all that stuff. I want to stay on the issue of apology and whether his apology was believable and the more general questions of apologies here. So I'm going to move on and take Sharon in Marlboro. Sharon, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that I couldn't get through on the last segment, but it really bothered me that nobody came up with the idea that denial and apology are kind of related. And I was thinking immediately of an eight-word statement several years ago that was the mother of all denials, and that was, I did not have sex with that woman.
Wasn't that
I am going
amazing,
to reserve
though.
Judgment on I did not know, I did not do, I did not see, I did not hear.
But what Sharon brings up, and Sharon, thank you, is that there's some relationship between denial of guilt and apology. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to be at all effective, an apology has to be sincere. And the essence of sincerity, of course, is honesty. So if you've lied to somebody as blatantly as President Clinton clearly had, at least in any way that I define sex anyway, then making a sincere and acceptable apology becomes very, very difficult because your credibility is shot. It can be done, but it's a lot harder. And in a situation like that, you not only have to apologize for what you did wrong in the first place, but then you also have to apologize for the lie. And you have to expect that the person or people receiving that apology are going to be a lot more skeptical than they would have been if you told the truth in the first place.
And listeners, you may be interested in a little apology quiz that we've put on our webpage. Five of the great political or celebrity apologies of all time. Go and look at the quotes and see if you can figure out who said them at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. In conjunction with the appearance of our guest, Lauren Bloom, author of Art of the Apology, How, When, and Why to Give and Accept Apologies. On the personal side, moving away from Christie for a minute, what about apologizing as part of a general communication style? You know, some people are always apologizing for little things, not even necessarily things that they've done that are ethically wrong. And personally, I find that that goes along with a general stance of humility and sensitivity to other people in the room that I kind of like, though it can go too far. But do you write about apology as kind of a personal style or interwoven as some, you know, within somebody's personal communication style?
I do. And, you know, as you say, Brian, I think it's a lovely trait. I tend to be a great believer in apologies because someone said to me at one point, do you have an apology ready for every occasion? And I pretty much do because I think it's all about recognizing that as people, we are fallible and we make mistakes and other people deserve the courtesy and compassion of apology when that happens. That said, you're also right. It can go too far. And it becomes important not to make apologies so automatic that they cease to have any meaning. Because at that point, you're really not fulfilling that relationship connection that needs to be there.
I think people don't apologize enough. Is it harder?
I agree with you.
Is it harder for men than women to apologize? Is there data on that?
Well, I haven't seen data. I can tell you that I've been asked the question so many times that I think I have anecdotal evidence that it is. I'm also struck at how often women will say to me, I'm buying your book for my husband or boyfriend or brother or whomever. I think one of the reasons people are reluctant to apologize is that they think it will make them look weak. And in my experience, men tend to worry about that more than women do.
Justin in North Bergen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Great segment.
Thank you.
My question is for the guest about her experience with the effect of enhancing personal growth and personal happiness when you apologize, because in my line of work as a family therapist, I see that as a key component to the type of apologies that repair relationships with you.
Laura?
Oh, I completely agree. I think making an apology effectively will strengthen your relationships, and it also relieves you of this tremendous burden of worry and guilt. It's a really useful skill to have, because if you know how to apologize, if you can apologize so that other people can accept your apologies and accept you as a flawed but nevertheless well-intended human being, it lets you come to terms, first of all, with the fact that you are that flawed human being, and second, that that's not the end of the world. That you don't have to carry that shame and remorse and guilt around with you. You can set it down. It's a beautiful thing.
I wonder if either of you, Justin, you as a family therapist, and Lauren, you as an apology expert, have seen these situations where somebody in the family apologizes to someone else for something that, you know, the second person is really angry at them for. They don't quite mean it. They're trying to wriggle out of something. And the other person says, you don't mean it. And the apology is not accepted.
I've encountered that numerous times, not just in work, but seen that among friends and family as well. So that's, in my estimate, that's a quite common part of the way people apologize in practice.
And what do you do?
It depends on how ingrained their stubbornness is, and
right. Thank you, Justin. Or maybe, Lauren, how insincere the apology actually is.
Well, again, if it's not sincere, it's not going to fly. And sincerity is a two-part thing. You have to be sincere, and the other person has to believe you're sincere. I mean, you asked about the conversation where you say, I don't believe you, I don't accept your apology. I've had that conversation where people have said to me, yeah, well, I suppose I'm sorry. And it's like, you know, why don't you just hold it till you mean it? Because until you mean it, it's not going to do any good. One of the bits of advice I give in the book is before you make an apology, take a little time, if it's an important one, to think about why you're really sorry. You know, what are you really saying here? Are you saying this just because you want me to shut up and sit down? Or do you genuinely want to restore our relationship?
So I guess
you can get to that space, don't bother.
Along with that, you would probably advise people never to go for the, I'm sorry you feel that way, as opposed to...
Oh, that is so bad. I'm sorry you feel that way really means you're hypersensitive or you're wrong or you're dumb, but I'm saying this because I don't want any more flack. And if you say those, if you say I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'm sorry if you feel that way, I'm sorry, but any of that conditional language just comes back and makes it very clear that you're being condescending, not sincere.
Larry in East Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to suggest that Christy should apologize to Bridget Ann Kelly, because he fired her, but apparently the day before the press conference, when he was gathering all that information, he didn't even talk to her. So isn't it possible that her email was hacked and it wasn't her sending the emails? Doesn't he owe it to her, you know, as part of his team, to do a little investigating?
You know, that's an interesting possibility and one I hadn't considered. I will say one of the great things about Governor Christie is what you see is what you get. He's absolutely authentic. Now, whether you like what you see or not is another question. He strikes me as kind of hot-headed and abrupt. If he fired her without talking to her, without really understanding the situation, I think he should apologize to her. Certainly, I wouldn't do that to someone who worked for me.
Larry, thank you very much. I want to play real quick. We just have a minute and a half left. One other apology that's in the news right now. Melissa Harris Perry, the host on MSNBC, who made some joke about Mitt Romney and his black grandchild, and here we are.
I broke the ground rule that families are off limits, and for that I am sorry. Also, Allow me to apologize to other families formed through transracial adoption, because I am deeply sorry that we suggested that interracial families are in any way funny or deserving of ridicule.
That's the first time I heard that. She sounded really upset.
She did sound really upset, and that's a very fine line to walk. On the other hand, on one hand, the contrition needs to be genuine. On the other hand, if it starts getting too intense, it starts looking a little melodramatic and maybe not quite credible. I will say I thought this particular story was really ironic, because I thought she was absolutely right to apologize. And at the same time, Mitt Romney, and I've given him guff on this more than once, is famous for refusing to apologize for anything. So it's kind of ironic that that apology came out. And I hope, among other things, that Governor Romney has learned that there's some value in an apology.
And Glenn Beck came out and said Melissa Harris-Perry shouldn't have apologized. No comment. Can you give us 20 seconds on whether there are cultures that do this more or better than others? Like Japanese culture has this reputation, I think.
Yeah, Japanese culture has a wonderful reputation on apologies. I think the countries that do it best are the countries that don't feel it's a terribly huge deal. They recognize that people make mistakes and that apology is just part of civilized human living.
Lauren,
I find the Canadians are great on it. So are the Brits.
Lauren Bloom's book, Art of the Apology, How, When, and Why to Give and Accept Apologies. I'm so sorry we're out of time.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today, Brian. Thank you.